Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I love Galatians. Listen, I don't even want to end this book. We could literally have four more lessons as I've been looking ahead. Depends on how I think that would be a little overkill. And I'm usually don't linger over stuff that long. I don't know how chapter 6 is going to go. We'll finish up chapter 5. God willing, we'll finish up chapter 5. Let's just jump right into walking in the Spirit in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. No, I want to be religious. Well, that won't work. That won't work. It doesn't say, be religious, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I get the question all the time. We're under the law. Every time I run into a verse, and there's many in the New Testament tell us we're not, I always emphasize those verses, don't I? Why? Because I'm trying to point out something to you. You're not under the law. If we are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Are we under the law? Well, are you led by the Spirit? No. Well, yeah, you probably should hook up with some law then, at least something to keep you from careening off into the oblivion and the abyss. I think sometimes like the Ten Commandments, like a break, you know, an emergency break when all else fails. The steering's gone. We're going down the mountain pass at a breakneck speed of 80 miles an hour. You want to have do not kill in your arsenal. Do not commit adultery. But, I mean, if that's your motivation for holy living, you found out it doesn't work, does it? We'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk about motivation a lot. But if you'll be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're obvious. They're out where God and everyone can see them. They're plain. Everyone knows they're manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, unclean. All lists of sin in the New Testament, fornications in every one of them. It's usually the first or second one. Just something I noticed. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I don't want any lasciviousness around here. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things, practice these things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Adam, explain that, soften that. I won't. I won't do either one. I think it says what it means and means what it says. But in contradistinction to that list, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that accompany the Spirit of God, the things that He produces, fruit, okay, are this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I don't know if I like that one. Suffer for a long time? I don't know if I'm standing in that line either. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law. No, we don't have a law. We don't have rules against that. Out there, they don't have rules against that. They pull you over. You're going fast. Was I going too fast, officer? No, I thought you had a look of love on your face, so we can't have that around here. There's no law against these things. Now, look. Everyone I know ever wants the second list rather than the first. No, I like fornication. I like uncleanness. I like to be dirty and lascivious. I want to be thought of as a lascivious old goat. That's my aim in life. That's what I hope to be thought of. Idolatry, witchcraft, love it, hatred. I want my life to spew. I just want to be a bigot and a hater and a naysayer and a negative person. And every time anyone comes within 100 yards of me, I want to get it all over them, all these negative. Who's that guy? Now, some people act like that. But, I mean, if you stop and think about it, one, they don't think they're like that. And, two, they wouldn't like to be like that if they could avoid it. Most of us want to get from the A list to the B list. As a matter of fact, we see things in our life on the A list, and it makes us very, very uncomfortable. And we're like, well, I used to be that guy. Sometimes I'm that guy now, and it really distresses me, and I repent, and I want to overcome these things. I want to be the B-list guy. Now, how you move from list A to list B tells me quite a bit. All the vast majority of Christendom does it by this: rules. Look, Let's go back to the list. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication. Okay, let's talk about fornication for a minute there. Sex outside of marriage, especially for teens, that's really uncool. That's not a good thing at all. So you know what we do? We need some rules. We have a teenage daughter. She's 13 and she wants to go out on a date. Are you crazy, we say? That's not happening. You'll have to wait till you're 16, 18, 19, 20, 21, 25, or 35, depending on who your dad is, right? And so, and you say, Adam, I'm all about that. What's wrong with rules? Well, go with me for a second now. If it's just rules, right? She's boy crazy. She's always liked boys. So you say you can't go out when you're 16. You have to wait till you're 20. So at 20, she's out on a date. First date, clothes are off, baby's on the way. What have you saved? What have you done? You've moved the whole process back 4 years. You haven't changed your heart. You put a rule in place, and the rules don't make righteousness. Religion, if you've ever heard one thing I've ever said in my whole life since I've been talking to you, believe this one thing from someone who's been religious. Religion does not equal righteousness, nor can it. And it wasn't even designed for that. So you put rules in place, therefore, now I'm a holy and I'm a righteous person. No, no. But the default button set on rules. I've got an example, easily downloadable. It's from a college that you would all know if I said the name of. I'm not here to defame anybody. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. I don't have a bone to pick with these people. You know what I mean? But this is their college handbook. Now, some of those rules, I mean, like, don't park on the grass, please. Yeah, all right. No speeding on campus. You know, you don't want to run over anybody. I'm not against rules per se. Because, you know, like, here's the thing. Kids go to our youth group. The parents of those kids hoping that the youth group leaders would have rules. Don't you think so? I think so, too. Now, the rules in themselves aren't a bad thing. But the problem is, if we're trying to govern, create righteousness in a person by rules, how do you do that? Where do the rules begin? Where do they stop? Here's his rules. Based on these expectations from the Lord, you think they would be found in the Lord's word if they're from the Lord, but I will stop and I will comment several places. Based on these expectations from the Lord, and as a distinctly Christian institution, said Center for Higher Learning, has designed policies to aid students in developing their Christian testimony and in living lives that are above reproach. They call it here policies. Okay, rules. I'll go policies. Semantics, but I'll go policies with you. I'm in an agreeable mood, so I'll be agreeable. Are we against Christian testimony and living lives that are above reproach? I'm not. I like those things. I would admonish you to live a life that's above reproach. Now, if I could do it by putting policies in place, the walls would be covered with policies, and you'd have to read them all before you came in and started a fellowship. Therefore, students at said institution may not participate in worldly activities, such as dancing, gambling, including the lottery, renting or watching video movies, movie going, and card playing, whether on campus or off campus. Of course, the possession of and use of liquor, non-medical drugs or tobacco, or the use of profanity or obscenity in any form is not allowed. Under no circumstance will pornography, premarital or extramarital sex, homosexuality, or other sexual or other sex perversions be allowed. Students who participate in the above activities will be subject to administrative withdrawal. It means we're going to kick you out. There's a demerit system. I saw it. I was going to be very tedious and read the whole thing. You know, if you're driving 5 miles over, it's 15 demerits. If you're fornicating, it's 150 demerits. 150 is the max, and then they throw you out, which is good, because if you're having trouble living a Christian life, kick you off this Institute of Higher Learning out into the world until you learn how to be better, and then you can come back and participate again, I guess. I I don't know. You know what I mean? Now, some of those rules, you're saying, Adam, what's wrong with, you know, they got to have rules. They have every right to make rules. And I'm thinking, well, they have every right. That's exactly true. I don't want to see drugs, alcohol on my college or pornography or premarital, extramarital sex. I'd agree with that. But I wonder, like, where'd they come in with cards? You got some Uno going on? X-rated video, as far as I'm concerned. It's all the same. It's all the same list. Maybe we'll give you extra demerits for the porn. But the cards, it's you know, little Skippo, you're going right to hell, mister. I'm telling you right. Well, you play Skippo, you probably are, and that's a story for another time. It saved our marriage when we moved from the trailer that Mike and Flea live in now, because they bought old trailer off us. When we moved out of that and we moved into the house we live in now, the Skippo cards never made it. It probably saved our marriage. But that's a story for another time. So there you have it. There's the rules, and if you do those rules, you'll be godly. If you disobey the rules, you're a heretic, and you get kicked out. Dress code. Now, you know there was going to be a dress code, obviously. We do not feel that clothes make the person. You will find that our emphasis at said institution is on the inward qualities of character. With this in mind, you will not need a large, expensive wardrobe. Men, hair should be cut in such a way that it does not come over the ears, eyebrows, or collar. Sideburns should be no longer than the middle of the ear. Styles related to counterculture, such as hairstyle or color, clothing, and jewelry, are not acceptable. Men must be clean-shaven. No beards or mustaches are permitted. Jesus is bumming. He'd be kicked out first day. Belts should be worn with pants which have belt loops. Socks should always be worn, especially with Bermuda shorts. White socks. White socks with those, what's those kind of sandals you got? No, the kind of sandals you always wear. Birkenstocks. I think like Bermuda shorts, white socks, and Birkenstocks is a cool look. I think that's happening. You won't get thrown out. As a matter of fact, you'll probably be the poster child for dress like this guy or something. That'll be okay. Women. Women have a longer thing. Why is that? It's always dress and skirt lengths. What's that? No beards. No beards. Women, dress and skirt lengths and slits should come no higher than the top of the kneecap when sitting and standing. Culottes. There's a special place in hell for the guy who invented culottes, but that's my personal opinion. I don't have book, chapter, and verse for that. Culottes, split skirts, and walking shorts should meet the skirt length standard and be full enough to look more like skirts than pants. Dress necklines should be modest, no sundresses or spaghetti straps, except for participation in recreational activities and on campus on Saturdays. Our ladies wear... I can't make this up. I don't want you dressing like a prostitute, except during different times, then it's okay. I know. Our ladies wear hosiery outside the residence hall. Anything immodest, tight, form-fitting, scant, backless, and low in the neckline is unacceptable. Shirts with tails should always be tucked in. Styles relating to counterculture, such as hairstyle or color, unusual nail color, clothing, and jewelry are not acceptable. No pants or shorts, please. Young ladies should dress in a manner that others will focus on the face, and particularly the eyes, for some say the eyes are the mirror of the soul. Although the wearing of multiple earrings has become common in the world, said institution ladies are asked to wear a maximum of two sets. These should be worn in the earlobes only. No piercings is basically what they're saying there. Okay, music responsibility. You knew there had to be a part on music. You knew that, right? I just highlighted stuff like this. This was on for like 32 pages of this stuff, small print all the way down, I think it was. I just got a few things. I'm just giving you an example. You know, 32 pages, you'd be ripping your ears off your side of your head before we're halfway done. Music standards at said institution. We feel important that our students learn to appreciate and be involved in music that enhances their Christian testimony. Therefore, students are encouraged to listen to classical, semi-classical, and good Christian music. There'll be a guy to tell you that, and there's no question about that. As a matter of fact, if you have anything questionable, you give it to the dorm leader, and he'll confiscate it if appropriate, and give it back at the end of the semester, or he'll check it and say, yes, that's approved listening. Classical, semi-classical, and good Christian music. The fine arts staff of the college acknowledges its responsibility to provide musical experiences designed to develop the appetites of our students for such music. The following types of music are not permitted. Current popular music. Jazz, rock, rap, folk, Nashville type, or New Age music. Religious music performed in the folk, Western rock, and I agree with that, or gospel rock style. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think sometimes, again, you have to have rules in place. We're still talking about music that's not permitted. Soundtrack from movies rated PG-13, PG, or below. By below, they mean R or NC-17, obviously. It doesn't matter if the music's good and the soundtrack's really cool. If the music, if the show is PG or PG-13 or R, you may listen to the soundtrack. If it's Ratatouille or something like that, and it's G, then the music's obviously very good and very edifying. That's what it said. That's what it's saying. Yeah. I think Shrek was PG, but I'm not sure. And it goes on to talk about the approved radio station, which is Rejoice Radio. Okay, there's rules. I remember a good friend of mine. he wanted to sing in a choir. If I told you the church, he's a fine singer. Good, strong voice. That's not the issue. And his issues, I mean, we have rules too, don't we? No. I'm not talking about the silly no Western music and no way in a manger. We have those rules that we've always said, but we have real rules. People who would participate in worship music, they have to live lives that are really like for real. We never wrote down no smoking, no beards or mustaches, no hair below the middle of the ear. We never thought we'd do anything like that, but we do have rules. I mean, probably standards is a better way to say it. So we don't want, like, you know, guys come in and just doing a great, like, worship set and then go out having a few smokes while I, you know, break the bread of life, you know what I mean, be outside, you know, smoking and stuff. I don't know that's really what we're after as far as, you know, the worship experience. They may be just the best, but if they're living those kind of lives, I always thought, just make something that God can bless. I mean, he won't bless our, like, our obstinance and our obvious excessive sin. He won't do that. Give him a life that's somewhat blessable. He'll do so much with so little. I mean, look at what we bring him, and he makes it into something that's usable. It's incredible when you think about it. But don't stand there with your hands folded across. And he can't bless you, our rebellion. It's as a sin of witchcraft. So we do have standards. I mean, we do have rules. I'm not against rules per se. But so this guy, he wanted to sing in a choir of a church that, if I said the name of it, you'd all know the church. And they said, just a minute. So they gave him a list. It was a sheet like this, you know, 8.5 by 11. It had bullet points. To be a member of the choir. Mustaches must be neat and trim. The inference was beards. It said verbatim, neckties are standard worshiping equipment. Yeah. You must tithe, must be a member in good standing. It had a whole list of stuff that you had to do to sing in the choir. And there was all kinds of stuff. And there were just different types of everything. Now, where does this start and where does it end? I remember reading, my thinking is like, I've always been opposed to this when I saw it. I've always just thought it was horrific and horrendous. I remember reading a book, Heart Disease in the Body of Christ by Jack Van Impe. He talked and specifically about a few colleges that had rules that were turning out Pharisees. They were turning out like they had a particular, you know, evangelistic crusade in a and you know, a lot of money was put out, and you know, they're renting a stadium, and you know, people are coming together, and they're pledging, you know, thousands of dollars, and they help putting this on. And the guy comes up with, "Hey, is there anyone in your team who has a granny glasses?" Granny glasses? What are you talking about? Yeah, those are that's a bad. It's like it's promoting like hippieism and just, you know, counterculture and revolutionary and stuff, and we don't want any part of that. Well, I don't know that. That's not important to us. It's not something that then forget it. We're out. And leaving them holding the bag for tens of thousands of dollars because that was their godly standard. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think rules, if it's just rules, we're not building Christians. We're building Pharisees. That's how it goes. If you don't want to do those things from list A, and you just put rules in so that it'll fence and hem you in, it may produce the desired effect as far as abstinence from these sinful activities. Think about Paul the Apostle. A Pharisee, according to the law, he said, blameless. And, oh, yeah, I had it going on. But I was going to hell in a handbasket. I was persecuting the church. I was clueless. I don't want to build Pharisees. So what are we going to do? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how do we get from point A to point B? I'm going to tell you how we don't. But how we get there is really chapter 6. And can I give you the brief, the skinny on it? We'll talk about chapter 6 is how, okay? But in the interim, you say, I can't wait that long. Okay. Love Jesus. If the problem is sin, the answer is Jesus. Now, let's look at the list again. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. There's four things I don't want to do. Okay, let's look at adultery. I don't commit adultery because it's wrong. Okay, that's good. That's good. I don't... You know, here's the thing. Like, there's a lot of things I don't do because they're wrong, right? Yeah, sometimes that's my motivation. But here's the thing. Here's what changes my heart. The closer I get, the more in love I get with Jesus, these things just lose their appetite. They lose their, I don't think I'll do that. That doesn't sound like a good idea. Listen, well, if I get taken up in adultery, fornication, uncleanness, or lasciviousness, will this make me closer to Jesus? Will this hurt my relationship with Jesus? Let's see. The first one, it would hurt it. The second one, it would definitely hurt it. The third one would hurt it. And the fourth one would hurt it. None of them will make me closer to Jesus. But my whole thing is I want to be close to Jesus. So these things, as I get closer to him, I just want to live for him. I want to obsessive compulsive disorder with Jesus Christ. I don't know how else to say it. You love Jesus. You want to do the things he wants you to do. You want to abstain from things he wants to abstain from. You hang out with Jesus, and you start acting like Jesus. I said this just a couple weeks ago. I was talking about Ron. Have you ever heard me say anything that Ron said? Now, as you think about it, remain calm, okay? That's too tough for me to come up with, Adam. That question's tougher than boiled owl. I don't know if I can give you any instances where you have ever said anything that Ron's ever said. Have you ever heard Ron say anything that I've said? Yeah, I have. And by the way, I've heard several of you say that. My phrases are reflected back at me. Now, sometimes that gives me great joy, and sometimes I just, because it's usually the dumb stuff, okay? Like the things like the throwaway phrases I say, the stupid, the happy monkey dance kind, and then I heard people saying that, I'm thinking like, ay, 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 this is terrible. But the people you hang out with, and this is why fellowship is so important, because you become like those people. It's really important. I mean, it really, really is. If you take you get a German Shepherd, and you let him out, and he goes and he runs with a pack of wild dogs, he's not going to domesticate those dogs. They're going to make him wild. I mean, it's just a given. So it's important that we hang out with the right people, but it's most important that we hang out with Jesus. And I don't mean that in like an irreverent way. Hey, Jesus, sup, man? What's happening? I mean, like, as we spend time with Jesus, as we seek Jesus, as we draw closer to Jesus, he infuses us with his one spirit. And the rest of these things flow. Now, I'm not talking about the fullness of the Spirit, second baptism, Spirit-filled. I'm purposefully refraining from that for one reason. One, I don't think it's saying that. But two, all I got to do is give you a rule for a holy living, and that's going to become the new legalism. You know what you really need to do is you really got to get up early and seek Him and spend time with Him. You're on your knees by your bed. You have an open Bible and you're praying and you're reading the Word. I just made you into a legalism. That's legalistic. You're going to try that for a week. It's not going to work. Or you're going to try it and it's going to work somewhat. But then it's going to become the thing. You know what? You need to be Spirit-filled. And then Spirit-filled becomes the thing. I mean, we're incurably religious. Listen, I want to say it this way. Hang out with Jesus. It's not even the goal is to become like Him. The goal is just to be with Him. Or you'll become like Him. It's inevitable. And these things... The adultery, the fornication, the uncleanness, the lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, those things will start melting away. I mean, they just will. Well, the Spirit of God's in our life. I'm not talking about the fullness of Spirit, because I believe this, okay? I'm not against Spirit-filled. You know that. Okay, I'm not against speaking in tongues. I'm not against any of the manifestations of Spirit. I'm not a cessationist. You guys all know that. But I'm not talking about that. We got to be Spirit-filled. And then, because that... In some people's thinking, in some people's theology, that creates a class of Christians. Junior varsity, varsity. The haves, the have-nots. The really super spiritual saints and everybody else. And maybe if you try real hard, you guys, someday you'll be real spiritual like me. That's the inference. By the way, that holier-than-thou stuff, I don't care how you decorate it, it's still noxious. It's still just gross, and it's still just abysmal. Now, rules. We need rules. You really do. Let's make a dress code. Young lady comes to church, attractive young lady, in her early 20s, and she's very well put together. Can I say that? And she's just not wearing a lot of clothes. And she likes the attention it brings. Now, she's born again. She loves Jesus, but she's a new Christian. Now, I hope she's not doesn't run into a rule person. You know, that nasty old ex-librarian school mom, Susan's ex-librarian, so I shouldn't even say that, because I don't think of Susan like that. Like, I think of somebody like, you young hussy, what do you think? And, you know, just read of the Riot Act. What do you think you're doing? Don't you realize that you're... I hope she doesn't run into somebody like that. Hope she runs into somebody who loves Jesus. Who'll say, dear, come on, let's come aside. I got to talk to you. You're very, very attractive, and you're not wearing a whole lot of clothes. Do you realize how that has an effect on men? And you would just lovingly instruct her. Is that biblical? The older women are supposed to instruct the younger women. And that's not even older numerically. It's older spiritually. She's a new Christian. Does she know better? She might. You know, somebody lovingly tells her that. Would that be helpful? We do need some rules. I want deacons in all the entrances, okay? We'll point deacons and I'll give them photographs and pictures. This, no good. This, definitely right out. This is borderline. If you have any questions, see an elder and I'll have the rule. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Do we have to have signs up, no smoking on campus? Do we have to have... I don't want to be the rules church. I want to get people to love Jesus, and a lot of these things will take care of themselves. You see, I say to the 16-year-old girl, you can't go out until you're 20. But if I haven't changed her heart when she's 20, look out. I'm headed for grandparenthood. You know what I mean? It's just the rules are, we have to have them. I mean, we can't be without them. I mean, we really, really can't. But I make them very sparingly, and I always want to have a why behind them also. We give our kids rules and rules and rules and rules. We don't explain. We're building rebels. And we give them rules and rules and rules and rules, and we do explain. We're building Pharisees. The rules have to be, they have to have a reason, and they should be biblically based. You know what I mean? Or common sense based. So our son wants to go out, and he wants to shoot pool with his friends. I'm going over to Jimmy's house. We'll be shooting pool there and stuff. What time are you going to come home, young man? It's a school night. Well, I'll be home by 9. Okay, fair enough. So he comes home by 9. He doesn't smell of alcohol or cigar smoke or something. You're happy and everything, and life goes on. You know, Jimmy's parents are there. You know them. They're fine, and everything's cool, right? That's fine. I mean, I don't, you know what I mean. Common sense. No, you can't be out till midnight. You have school tomorrow. or whatever that looks like. And in that way, we let parents be parents. I don't say, you know, I don't want to micromanage. I don't want to come in and tell you how this is what you should do for your children or something. That's just, you know. I have seen, I've been in situations where no matter what the kids are doing, it's wrong and mom and dad are yelling. That, I want to cry when I see that. I want to just cry. I'm just like, you know, loosen the bone, Wilma. Just relax. Bring it down a little bit. Just what is your, always just, we try not to be those guys. I remember one time the kids were roller skating in the hall. You remember that? And I was just, I don't know what. I was just being an idiot because, I don't know, sometimes I'm just tense or something like that. It's like I'm roller skating. I yell, there's no roller skating! Just freaking out, you know. You never told us that. Why? And I'm like, I guess no reason. All right, I guess there's roller skating in the hall. So it was a new rule. It was like roller, because I don't want to just make, you know, you're not hurting anything. They had them rubber roller skates on them, like, you know, in line. You know, that they weren't hurting anything. You know what I mean? So you may be the people, well, there's no roller skating in the house or something. I'm not trying to tell you this and this, but I'm just trying to tell you like a bunch of rules and a lot of X rules, especially we'll become that church. Okay, you want to sing in the choir when we have one? Here's the list. Make sure you cover all the bases and don't miss any. I don't want to go to that church. I don't want to be that church. I don't think God blesses that church. I don't want to be. Now, the fruit of the Spirit. As Jesus come into my heart and the Spirit showed up, I didn't know that. I know that was a part of the deal. I mean, I learned that as I went along. He comes in and he starts manifesting the life of Jesus in us. He does. I mean, he just does. I know that. Long before I was ever Spirit-filled, ever, I learned how to love. That's basic equipment. That's not like for the Spirit-filled ones, okay? That second blessing ones. I've made it all the way up to here, and now I know how to love. No. When you get in, the entrance, that you get love. That's, like I say, basic standard equipment. Look, I got saved. The Holy Spirit comes in. Now I'm concerned about people I never cared about before. If I knew they were going to hell, so, now all of a sudden I care. Now I don't want them to. What happened? What got on me? What got in me? What did I get? Some infection? Some virus? Yes, I did. The Holy Spirit of God infused me with the life of Jesus Christ. It's not a virus, but it's a living thing, eternal life. And all of a sudden, I started caring, and I was more peaceable, and I had joy. By the way, joy is best. Happiness so depends on the circumstances. You know what I mean? You know. Car's running good, the new car, you know, my wife loves me, in that order, those important things like that. She feeds me real good. A dog comes every time I call him. It's just, my life is just perfect. Now, you know, she's mad at me. She burned dinner. The dog's thrown up on the carpet. I hate everything. This is just, life stinks now. I'm not happy anymore. And transitional and just so depends on all. Everything's going good. My life's great. Things going bad. I'm ready to just, they got to talk me in off the ledge. The cat's thrown up again. Oh, my goodness. Adam, come in. It's not that bad, honey. You know what I mean? No, I got joy. And you can have joy at a funeral. I mean, you really can. It's not a time to exhibit happiness, but you can have joy. Yeah, we know them. We know where they are. That's good. We can have that peace that passes all understanding. All these things are really good things. We want these things. Say, I don't want long suffering. The ability to bear up under trial for a long time. Some would say that, you know, they in the newer modern versions, this is patience. I think it means long suffering. Now, it's not that you will suffer for a long time, but if you're suffering for a long time, you'll be able to stand it. You'll be able to bear up under it. Tenacity is kind of the idea. Now, I like that. Gentleness. I want to be gentle. That same lady comes in, the one I was saying earlier, you know, she's in her young 20s and stuff like that. She comes in. I want her to run into the gentle sister. I don't want her to run into the harsh sister who will read her the riot act. She'll say, fine, if that's how it is, and she'll slam the door behind her and we'll never see her again. Just like Jesus always did when he was dealing with people, right? We talked about Matthew chapter 23. He's calling the Pharisees out, and he's giving them, I call it, tough love. But to the ones who were in sin, and they knew it, you know, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners, they heard him gladly. You know, this lady taken in adultery. Where are your accusers there, sunshine? You know, he's almost like, yeah, you know, if anyone ever needed a friend any time ever, it was that lady at that moment, right? She ran into the angry God who is just, he's a volcano God. He's ready to erupt if you don't appease him. No, I like gentleness. Gentleness is a good thing, you know. Think about, like, if you were a Pharisee and you were, like, you know, selling doves in the temple for, like, extraordinary price, and Jesus was walking across the courts with fire in his eyes, I'd think I'd do a disappearing act. But little kids just had no problem with coming up to him, sitting on his lap. And I'm guessing they was just, you know, little kids like that, or like little kids now, to be tugging at his beard and just doing all that stuff. And he's just loving on them and blessing them. And they didn't have any problem. You know, if you're really austere and really, I think kids can sense. Seuss has halo effect. Sheeran's for office. Even people who are like dyed-in-the-wool liberal voted for her. They just, because, you know, if you're good looking, you get votes. This is the way it is. And she has like strong attraction. Little kids love her right off the bat. And I'm less like, I hate that, you know, because they don't love me. You know, it's like I have to really work really hard at it and stuff, because I'm not gentle. I'm big, and, you know, I have a big voice, and just, you know what I mean. But Seuss all gentle and sweet, and kids just love that, you know. I want to be gentle. Not all the time. I mean, like, you know, when someone's in your house at night, you want the equalizer, and you want to introduce them to the fear of God. You know what I mean? Hopefully they love life enough so you don't have to shoot them or something like that. I want them guys to be cringing. But, I mean, just generally, basically, I mean, I want to be thought of as a gentle person, as a nice person, as somebody who's approachable, who's not harsh. I asked him a question. He jumped down my throat, and he made me feel like an idiot. And I don't ever be that guy. I want to be gentle. And these are the things that the Spirit of God produces in us. Now, some of these things come right to the surface, probably because they're close to the surface anyway. I mean, we have some of these things in our life anyway, to one degree or another. I think there are people who are basically good outside of Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit of God comes, and the goodness comes right to the surface real quick. Some people have faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I think, you know, like, but I think he's producing all these things in our lives to one degree or another. And they that are Christ have crucified with crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, they that are Christ, these same ones who walk by the Spirit, and they don't, what does it say? And they don't walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You have NIV, it says sinful desires. I like flesh better. Fleshly, that's what, you know, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That flesh, that Philadelphia lawyer in you that just is insatiable, that you can't bargain with, that there's no, you know, you're eating Thanksgiving dinner, okay? And there's more food than would feed Pakistan for a month, okay? And you've had some of everything, and you are so full, and you're loosening your belt under the table, and you're thinking, why didn't I wear my stretchy pants and stuff like this? And your body's saying, I hate you, I hate you, I hope you die. And you're just like, oh, I can't even breathe. You know, like, because, you know, your food's right up against your diaphragm, and you can't even breathe deep. And you just look, it's just gluttony, okay? Why, if you're not hungry, how come you want dessert? You know, it's like, you know, she pulls out the pies, and you're saying, like, you daily occurrence. You're a funny lady. You've satisfied the lust of the flesh. You've fed the flesh, right? And so the flesh isn't hungry anymore. And then somebody brings out the pies and the cakes and stuff like that, and your stomach's screaming at you, I hope you die, I hate you, and stuff like this. And you're thinking, well, I'll split that tiramisu with you. Just, you know, that's how it is. Why is that? That's the flesh that never has enough. That we've satisfied hunger, after a couple of spoonfuls of satisfied hunger and we're still eating, we're eating, eating. What's that? That's the flesh. That's that, that you can't deal with him. You can't just a little bit, well, just this much. And you, he has no sense of proportion. He has no sense of, there's never an off switch. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You have to reckon, you know, mortify the deeds of the flesh, we're told in Romans chapter 6. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. I'm tempted sometimes, and sometimes I'm successful in telling Satan that you're tempting somebody who already died. That's a dead man. That guy don't live here no more. You're wasting your time. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know, I don't have flesh. I'm all about living in the spirit now. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm trying to satisfy him. Not a legalistic boy. If I do real good, he'll, you know, I get front row seats in heaven kind of way. In a way that I just want to live. I just want to love him. I just won't want that. You know, I've had sin in my life before. You know, sin. I'm not talking about like sin. Just leave it to your imagination. And then the stress, the strain on our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's almost like you're going to almost like start again. You know, things are going really good. It's like really tight. And I'm like, I feel like I'm walking in the flow of where he wants me to be. And we got this sweet fellowship going on. And everything's really cool. And it's just like, you know, like our relationship when things are going really good, right? And we're just, this is marriage, isn't marriage the coolest? And then, like, I do something really knucklehead, and you're thinking, like, I can't believe I'm married. Come today, Lord Jesus. This is horrible. I just, you know how it is. And it's almost like we have to start from scratch and rebuild that up and get the momentum going again. That's what sin does. And I'm like, I've had it. It promises, and it never delivers the goods. It tells me, this is going to be so good this time. And it's like, it never, ever comes through. And I guess I've had some success just looking at verses like this. They that Christ have crucified the flesh and with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Spirit, Phil, ultimately, that's what we want to be. But I'm not even saying that. Again, I'm not trying to give you a legalistic formula. Guys love formulas. Oh, man, we just do. So what's the rules? You know, give me what, A, B, C, D. Okay, I do those things and I'm there. We love that. Step one, step two. We follow the instructions and we're... And Jesus is saying, love me, I'll love you, it'll be excellent. And this, them sinful stuff, you'll see it like disappear in your rear view mirror as you drive away. It'll just be all about you and me and our relationship. Rules don't build relationship. Rules just build religion. I mean, yeah, don't sin. I mean, you want to put rules around it. Don't do anything for the sake of rules, though. I mean, again, a 16-year-old girl, no, you ain't going out. You ain't going out till you're 21. 21, if you haven't changed her heart in 5 years, you're still having problems. She's still right full of that stuff, that flesh. If she's not walking in the Spirit, she isn't crucified with the flesh and the lust and affections thereof, you're going to have a lot of problems on your hands. That's the whole thing. And I see a church of Jesus Christ in America living in the flesh. How much can I get away with? What can I do? Well, is it all right to do this? Is it all right to do this? Is it all right to do this? Can I do this? How much can I get away with? And the questions come, and people ask me things. Well, can a Christian do? And they always want to know, how close can I get to the line? The line. Here's the line. If I step over it, that's bad. How close can I get over to it? I'll tell you this, Jesus is never hanging around the line. He's like, he takes you way away from the line. And then he tells you, you know, like, can Christians play cards? If you and Jesus have no problem playing cards, I'm not going to make a bunch of stupid rules. You know what I mean? The Holy Spirit of God doesn't say, this is not something that you ought to be involved in. Then why would I try to make rules? All I'll be is Mr. Pharisee and Mr. Rule Guy, and then we'll be all legalistic. And you'll think if you keep the rules, then you're going to heaven. I don't ever want you to think that. I don't ever want to accidentally say that or accidentally imply that in such and such a way. That would be, I turn in my pastor card. Think about it. What? You know, we don't, we don't have a church membership. Why? Well, for a lot of reasons. One, I got children. They didn't join. They were born into the family. If you're not born in, you can't join. You know what I mean? And then, of course, if you join, what's the sense? Listen, Jesus tell you to go to church here? You love Jesus and he tell you to go to church here? Well, I guess you're a member. Yeah. What else do you want? You know what I mean? He tells you to go somewhere else. God bless you. Love you. I'll see you later. You know what I mean? So, because then it just... But I don't want anyone to ever think, well, I joined the church. I'm a member of good standing of the church. Therefore, when judgment day comes, I'm in like Flynn, because I don't want anyone to ever think that. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Chapter 6, fun stuff. I think it's really three lessons here. I'm going to try to do it in two. I mean, look, let's just go ahead, looking ahead. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Talk about his loads versus burdens, and you should know that, okay? And that's very, very important. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Well, that's just contrary. No, not if you, not in the original language, it's not. And I'll show you why, and it's a very, very important lesson. Two, we got to understand God is not mocked. What a man sows, that also shall he reap. We'll spend a while there because that's a very, very, very important lesson. And then we'll just wind up because there's a lot of stuff in the as he's winding down there. But I think we can do it in two. We may do it in one. I don't know. Like I say, I don't always plan these things. Let's pray. You guys can stand because I know you want to, and Matt's going to come. He's going to give us a song, and we'll go worshiping God. Our Father, our God, very gracious to us, and it's hard for us to understand this all the time, where rules are be applied and where we just let you just lead. And I'm sure the less we do along these lines, the better it is. Just lead us and guide us. Make us the people you want us to be. Just do. Lord, we want to be with you. We want to draw near to you. We want you to draw near to us. We've had you close in our lives, and there's nothing like that at all. And religion, Lord, is a sorry substitute. We don't want that. We don't want to be a religious church. Lord, deliver us. And help everyone understand when I talk this way, what I mean. I think some people come in and just hear me go off on religion, and they just think I'm irreverent and I don't love you. Help people understand. We want to be the model church, Lord. We want to please you. We want to just live. We just want to be with you, Lord. We just want to be a loving community of people who reflect your spirit and your and model what it is to follow you. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.